Psalms 23, verse 3, it says, "He restores my soul." When I moved to Kansas City, my kids were 3 and 6 years old. That's just crazy to think about. They're 18 and 21 now. If they were 3 and 6 years old when I moved here. And one of the things they loved to do was to go to their room and play. But when they went to their room to play, they didn't just go in there and like grab that one car to play with or grab that one airplane or that one thing they've been waiting to play with. They didn't just go in there and do that. What they did was they went and they got the box of toys and they would flip the whole box upside down and dump toys all over the place. And this once peaceful, tranquil, loving environment all of a sudden became chaos and dysfunction. It became a problem situation. This once place of peace and tranquility all of a sudden became this chaotic place. Some of you here today can identify with that room. Your life has been peaceful. Your life was tranquil. Your life was calm. And then all of a sudden, it seems like life dumped a toy box on you, put you in pure dysfunction, took you out, caused you to even question your own faith. Well, today we look at a small passage of Scripture in Psalms 23. This passage of Scripture is written by King David, who knew what it feels like to be restored. Psalms 23 is a small passage, but it packs so much power. One of the most memorized passages of Scripture, yet probably one of the least studied for its value. So today, David lets us know that God, our shepherd, can restore our souls. When you think about the word restoration, it signifies the loss of something. Believers are not exempt, what I hope we learn today. Believers are not exempt from wearing out, but we do have access to restoration. And there are three lessons I want us to learn today. Are you interested?
Yes.
Good, good. Don't wait so long to answer next time. The first thing we learn today is restoration is crucial. Restoration is crucial. It says, "He restores my soul." Verse 3 of this psalm begins by saying, "He restores my soul." The reason the psalmist David speaks of his soul being restored is because it has a need to be restored. It has moments of emptiness. Our soul has moments of fatigue, and restoration is crucial. It's a must. I know this may seem odd because aren't we the sheep who the good shepherd has been helping us to lie down in green pastures? Aren't we the ones who are laying beside still waters? If we're enjoying these luxuries, why would our soul need to be restored? This is actually where the problem comes. You see, often a sheep was full, so full it could lie down in green pastures and rest beside still waters. It could be too comfortable and lay in places that seemed plush, but too plush and unable to carry the weight of the sheep. And when this happened, the sheep would then fall over. The term the shepherd would use is cast. The sheep became cast. And when a sheep is cast, it is literally on its back, unable to get back on its feet. The enjoyment of the green pastures caused the sheep to forget to be vigilant. The plush provision made the sheep forget it needed to be aware of its surroundings, and it would fall over and become vulnerable. And once the sheep falls over, there's then this relentless attempt to try to get itself, to try to correct itself. It works hard to turn itself back over. It works hard to get out of trouble. It works hard to try to gain control of its life again, only to work itself to exhaustion. Because it let itself get in this position, and the only person who can pull them out of this trouble is a good shepherd. You know, too often we as believers are so provided for and so taken care of, we can forget that we are still in a war against Satan. We can forget that we are still in a sinful world that is constantly putting temptations in front of us, begging us to enjoy the comforts of life, only to find that we're cast, turned upside down, rendered ineffective. We got intoxicated by our goodness, and then we find ourselves trying to do everything that brings us affirmation, and we begin to live for the applause of the crowd. Lose sight of our surroundings, and all of a sudden, the spot in the company that we have is not enough. The house is not enough. The car is not enough. Then we begin to thrive off the likes on Facebook and our comments on Instagram, working ourselves to exhaustion. Before we know it, we're cast. We're ineffective. And then we try to fix ourselves, and the more we try to fix ourselves and correct ourselves and gain control of our life just causes us to be more and more exhausted, trying to correct the problem, trying to fix the situation, only to find that we can't do this on our own. We need restoration. Also, you need to know a cast sheep was a nightmare for a shepherd, because a sheep that is cast only has a few hours to live because of the blood flow being cut off, and the muscles begin to lose their strength because of their position. So the shepherd was always surveying, always looking for sheep who were cast. This is the picture that Jesus paints when he tells the story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. It says, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." Jesus describes this scenario of a shepherd looking for a lost sheep, because a lost sheep was most likely a cast sheep, and a sheep that has gotten turned over and unable to help itself. So the shepherd runs to find the sheep because this sheep has value. He says, how many shepherds would not leave the 99 to go find the one? Well, if you know, it's just one sheep, right? But if that one sheep is invaluable, then before you know it, it's only 80 sheep. And before you know it, there's only 50 sheep. No, he leaves the 99 to go find the one, because every sheep has value, and restoration is crucial. That's why restoration is understandably needed for all believers, because we all have value in the sight of God. There are no unimportant sheep. There are no unimportant church members, whether you work in a nursery or work in a parking lot, whether you clean the bathrooms or whether you sign the checks. You are important to the body of Christ. And if necessary, you need to be restored. Also, what you need to know is, just as the shepherd is looking for cast down sheep, so are predators. Predators are roaming, looking for cast sheep. See, when a shepherd would see vultures flying around, he would get nervous, because if a vulture is flying around, generally that meant there's a sheep that is cast somewhere. Cast down sheep are easy prey for buzzards and coyotes and wolves. And these bottom feeders, they stalk flocks of sheep, waiting to see the sheep that got too comfortable and got too used to their situation and found themselves in a cast position, waiting on them to get caught in their provision so that they could catch them cast and take advantage of them in their vulnerable state. So 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour." Understand, this verse is written to believers. This is not a warning to unbelievers. This is not a warning to sinful people without hope. This is written to Christ-following, God-fearing believers Because he knew that restoration is crucial. Because Satan roams churches. You do know that, right? Satan roams churches. Satan prowls about ministries. Satan is waiting on a member who is going through life, getting comfortable with the pace, not paying attention to what's going on. Satan is waiting on a member who has begun to think that they're untouchable. Satan is waiting. He's prowling. He's looking for us. He's looking for good Christian people, pastors, leaders, teachers, seeking whom he may devour. People who have gotten vulnerable because they lost track of their relationships. They lost focus. Got so busy that busy began to be the normal and started getting used to being busy. And the enemy is waiting to devour them. The enemy is waiting to use those cast sheep for his glory. Satan is evil and will prowl to find anyone vulnerable to carry out his plan. That's why we need to be restored. We do fall down. We do get tired, but we don't have to stay down. You may slack on your quiet time, but you can pick that quiet time back up again. We don't pray like we used to, but God is still waiting on us to call on him. If you're cast down, feeling away from God, if you've fallen, and if you're tired, you feel like you have nothing left, you are cast. And understand, the more work you do to try to fix yourself is only going to make you more exhausted. It's all just a sign that you need to be restored. You need to release control and let the good shepherd start the restoration process. Accepting the fact that you need restoration, it's not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength and humility. It's a sign that you can't do it by yourself, and it is then that God shows up and restores your soul. You know, on your car, there's a gauge that lets you know how much gas you have. And there's like, generally there's four, it's divided into four sections. So it's full, half, quarter, and empty. But the car drives the same on a half as it does full. The car drives the same on a quarter of a tank that it does full. And I don't advise this, but the car drives the same in between a quarter and empty as it does on full. But generally around that midsection, just below the midsection of a quarter, one eighth. Wow, is it? Right around there, a light pops on. Says you need fuel. There's about to be a problem if you don't address it. And believe it or not, I've learned that lesson more than one time that I like to admit. But if you keep pushing, you know how we are. I got one more trip to the store. I don't have time to stop right now. I got to get to work. We just keep pushing and kept pushing it. And then before long, the car says, nope. And it just shuts down, and you find yourself stranded on the side of the road. Life is the same way. Full and a quarter may feel the same, but empty is on the way. You'll find that your soul needs restoration. You'll push yourself to a breaking point and explode and sink into depression or lose your mind and wonder, how did I get here? A few signs, if you're getting irritable easily, your spiritual fuel light might be on. If you don't want to be around anyone, your spiritual fuel light might be on. If you find yourself snapping at people for no reason, your spiritual fuel light might be on. If you have a whatever attitude or lackadaisical about things, your spiritual fuel light might be on. If you're tired and you want to just sleep your way through life, your spiritual fuel light might be on. These are all indicators that your soul is in need of restoration. You should pay attention. before you find yourself totally empty, giving up on life and wondering how you got there. When you're feeling cast down, David says, admit it. Call on the one who can do something about it. Call on the one who can do something, who can restore your soul. Call on God, because restoration is crucial. Not only is restoration crucial, restoration is constant. He restores my soul. Notice the word restores is in the present tense. This means the shepherd does not have like 2 days a week he comes and checks the flock out. The sheep is not combing through the flock every once in a while to see if maybe a sheep might be cast. The shepherd is constantly and consistently looking for cast down sheep. It's constant, it's present, it's right now, it's immediate. You see, the sheep could not be cast longer than a few hours of risk of not surviving. And the sheep's chances at survival was contingent on the shepherd restoring immediately. Restore, it's a one of immediacy and continuance. It's constantly happening. He's constantly looking. He's constantly searching. God is looking, the good shepherd. He keeps his eye on the sheep because as soon as they fall, he wants to be there to help them back on their feet. David says, our Father, the shepherd, is constantly watching so that when we fall, he is there to restore us. David knew what it meant to need restoration. You see, when David sinned with Bathsheba, God sent word to him through the prophet Nathan that he needed to be restored. We have that story in 2 Samuel chapter 12. It says, and the Lord sent Nathan to David. He came to him and said to him, there were two men in a certain city, the one rich, the other poor. The rich man had very many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing but one little ewe lamb, which he had bought. And he brought it up, and it grew up with him and with his children. It used to eat of his morsel and drink from his cup and lie in his arms, and it was like a daughter to him. Now there came a traveler to the rich man. He was unwilling to take one of his own flock or herd to prepare for the guests who had come to him, but he took the poor man's lamb and prepared for the man who had come to him. Then David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, the man who has done this deserves to die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. Nathan said to David, you're the man. Thus said the Lord, the God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel and delivered you out of the hand of Saul. And I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your arms and gave you the house of Israel and of Judah. And if this were too little, I would add to you as much more. Why have you despised the Lord, the word of the Lord, to do what is evil in his sight? You have struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and have taken his wife to be your wife and have killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. But I like verse 13. David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. I need restoration. I need to be restored. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. Restoration. I need to be restored. Immediate restoration. David sinned. When David sinned, God did not tell Nathan to wait and see if he can get out of it. God didn't say, wait, you know, let him get comfortable. Let's see if he falls into more sin. Because God, the shepherd, watching over his flock, looking for cast down sheep, sent Nathan to David so that David would know he was wrong and that he needed restoration right away. And notice as soon as David recognizes his wrong, God restores him. It was immediate. It was constant. It is in this perspective, it is in view of this kind of love and forgiveness that David could from his heart say, he restores my soul. I know what that feels like. He restores my soul. He sees the real me. He looks past all the stuff that I use to try to cover up my sin. He looks past all the stuff that I use to try to make myself look good. He looks past the suit. He looks past the houses. He looks past the car. He looks at all of that stuff I try to use to cover up. God recognizes my soul, and that it's broken, and that it needs restoration. He does that for each and every one of us. Through the inward power of the Holy Spirit, he convicts us and tells us we have sin, tells us when we're weak, and drives us to him for restoration. He's constantly watching out for us, for guilt and for shame and temptation. He's ready at any moment. He's watching us because he wants to restore us so that we can live life, and not just live life, but live life more abundantly, not defeated. Constantly ready to forgive us, constantly ready to wash us with his grace, constantly ready to provide us with mercy, constantly ready to apply the blood of Jesus, constantly ready to restore his children to the fullness of joy. Constantly. Restoration is crucial. Restoration is constant. Restoration is complete. He restores my soul. He restores my whole soul. Not just the badly broken pieces, the whole soul. He restores every area of brokenness. He restores us from sin. See, often the sheep would have their wool grow so long that bugs and mud would get caught up in it. And the more the bugs and the mud got caught up in the sheep's wool, it would make the sheep heavy, which made it more susceptible to being cast, to be turned upside down, to be made ineffective. And the shepherd would have to pick the sheep up and put the sheep over his shoulders and shave the wool off of the sheep. And at first it hurt the sheep. First, this is very uncomfortable for the sheep, but after a while, the sheep realized what has been happening to him, realized what the shepherd was doing, and then he could run with the flock again. See, we as believers, we get mud and bugs of sin in our life, and it weighs us down so that we're cast down, rendered ineffective. But the shepherd, you know, he has to prune us, and he shears us, and it may not feel good at first. It may be uncomfortable, but after we let the shepherd do his work, then we can find that the sin has moved away and we can run with the flock again. He is able to restore you from all your sin. He restores us from stress. We live in a world that loads us down with unrealistic expectations. We're constantly comparing ourselves to people on social media that most times we don't even know. We stress out about where we are in life. We stress out about where we want to be. We stress out about who we wish we were. And if we don't have anything to stress out about, we start stressing because we need something to be stressful about. Only to find ourselves cast down, vulnerable. That's why Jesus says in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Take off the yoke of the world. Take off the expectations of the world. Take off the stress of the world and put on the yoke of Jesus. Put on the grace of Jesus. Put on the hope of Jesus and find rest and restoration for your soul. Because he restores us from sin. He restores us from stress. But best of all, he restores us for his glory. Notice the one that's doing the restoring. He restores. The he that he's talking about is referenced in the first two words of this psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. The he who restores is the Lord. You see, God restores because when you are restored, he gets glory. Paul, he gives us a reminder of this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, talking about deliverance and how God gets glory for it. It says, for we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through your prayers, through the prayers of many. Paul said he rescued us so that you could give him glory. He rescued us so that praise could be given to him. Your restoration is his glory. Because he restores. He restores completely because he wants the glory and deserves the glory. He restores you completely from your sin. He restores you completely from your stress. He restores you completely from your guilt. He restores you completely from your worry. He didn't say he partially restored. He didn't say he only restores the areas that were too broken. He restores my whole soul, not part. Not just the part that sinned too much. He restores my whole soul, and he restores it completely. Remember, I told you about my son's play habits and how they would go to the room and they would just take the box and flip it upside down, and this once peaceful, tranquil, calm atmosphere all of a sudden becomes this chaotic, dysfunctional mess. If I could have had a conversation with the room, I would say, listen up, room. Some troublemakers are about to come in here. And I know right now it's peaceful. I know right now your life is just calm and there's no issues going on right now, room, but you got to listen to me. There's some troublemakers coming, and there's some pretty bad troublemakers. They're going to come in here, and they're going to turn your peace upside down. They're going to come in here, and they're going to make this peaceful place totally dysfunctional, total chaotic. They're going to come in here, and you're going to feel like you lost control, room. I'm telling you. I'm trying to give you a warning. But what you need to know is this. Those two troublemakers are under my authority. And they're going to come in, and they're going to mess up your peace. They're going to mess up your tranquil life. They're going to mess it up, and you're going to feel like you lost control. But I promise you this. I have told them that before they go to bed, this room has to be completely clean. They're going to put every book back on the shelf. They're going to put every car back in its place. They're going to put every airplane back in its box, and you will have your peace and tranquility again. I promise you, because, you see, I am the restoration guarantor. I am the one who makes sure that this place will be pure again. You just got to trust me. See, God wants you to know that today. He wants you to know that you might be going through some stuff right now. You might be dealing with a situation right now. Your life may have been turned upside down right now. Chaos and dysfunction may govern your life right now. But God wants you to know that he's the God of restoration. He is the God who can come in and take your mess and bring your peace again. He is the God who also can raise the dead. He is the God who can take care of whatever you're dealing with right now. He can restore your soul no matter what you're dealing with, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're hurting about right now. He can restore your soul. The blood of Jesus was shed so that your soul can be restored. Resurrection power is available for you so your soul can be restored. All you need to do is submit to the God of restoration. Release your hands from the situation and submit yourself to God and say, God, here I am. Restore my soul. Because restoration is crucial. Restoration is constant. Restoration is complete. And the church said, amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for this word today. We pray, Lord, that something was said to bless someone, to encourage someone, that you are the God of restoration. And no matter how much our life feels like it's full of dysfunction and chaos, you are the restoration guarantor. And you will restore our souls when we submit to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.